Come on, y'all enjoying yourselves so far? We're like 2/3 of the way through this thing. Have you learned anything? Oh, so let me just give you some warning, right? I've been black all my life. That's like some of y'all are shocked like that. Oh, wow. I've only been preaching for a couple years, but 6 generations before me were preachers, so I really didn't have much of a choice. But all I'm saying is, it goes really quick if you say amen, or if you just, you don't even have to say amen if that's too churchy of a word for you. Just like smile and be like, yeah. And then I get excited, and then I speed up, and then I get done in 10 minutes. So just talk to me a little bit, and we'll have a good time. I'm so excited about what God is doing in this room, in this building, these last couple of days and tomorrow. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. I don't travel too much, but I do get a chance to go around just a little bit. And what is happening in this room is one of the most special things that I've seen in a very long time. To see you all passionately pursue Jesus, to see you worship, to see you enter into God's presence and to usher in the heavens into this place. This is absolutely amazing. I need to stop because I'm about to get emotional. But listen, I will be talking about you for a very long time, because when I see this room and when I see what's happening right now, I'm like, yep, there's some good things that are about to happen in the church in this region. There's some incredible things that are birthing and are about to manifest. This is hope. I can't wait to talk to some of the pastors that I talked to say what I saw this morning. And so for whatever it took for you to get here, whatever money you had to save and spend and whatever like that, or what your parents did, the investment, the fruit that will come from this for years and years to come. So I'm so grateful for you. Let me just say, I don't think he's in here in the room right now. I honor Pastor Zach for even creating space for something. This man, I love that dude right there. If you have an opportunity to just rub shoulders with him over the next 18 hours or however long you've got left, just do it. Just go rub up on him and be like, Dennis told me to do that. Is that all right? Are you guys ready? Anybody want to get into the word? I'm gonna probably teach a little bit more than I would normally do. Very familiar passage, very famous passage. If you have your Bibles, open up to Philippians chapter 2. I actually should probably find that scripture too. Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read from the New International Version of the Bible. What key are you in? Great. What key? C. Awesome. Philippians chapter 2. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come, before we read the word, would you just close your eyes? And I know we've spent a lot of time worshiping this morning, but if you have another hallelujah, if you have another thank you, Jesus, if you have another word of adoration, would you just let that fill this room for a moment? Come on, lift your voices and let praise and adoration, the thanksgiving. Come on, pray in the spirit. Pray with understanding. Come on. Let it rise, let it rise, let it rise, let it rise, let it rise. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, Come on, I invite you just to stretch out your hands just for a moment, just to receive. And the Lord is just depositing some things. We're kind of. Let us become more aware of your spirit. Let us experience. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience. Yeah, just rock that. Sing, let us become more aware of your prayer experience. Yeah. Sing, let us become more aware. Thank you, Lord. Philippians chapter 2. Beginning at verse 1, it says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, thank you, Lord. If any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. Would you say that? By being like-minded. One more time, come on. By being like-minded. Having the same love, being one in the Spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition, rather in humility value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Would you say that? Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Come on, one more time. Have the same mindset Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. Gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Spirit of God, continue to hover in this place. Spirit of God, continue to restrain that would seek to hinder, that would seek to distract, that would seek to steal, kill, and destroy. And Spirit of God, we release you to release your creative work in us. Release your beauty, manifest your power even in this place. Lord God, I thank you right now that you would even begin to give visions and dreams, that you would release signs and wonders. God, we thank you that at the end of this hour, we'll look better than we did when we came in because we're here in your presence. Have your way. Speak to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, man. Well, I actually don't want to move right now. This is beautiful. I was going to say something, and I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. When am I supposed to be done? You don't give a black preacher a mic and then say, don't give him time. Okay, I got it. All right. I'm sorry. Y'all ready? Yeah. You've got no books or anything out? Little. All right, come on, girl. It's the baby's with me. All right. Have the same attitude, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. I want to tell you about a movie that I've never seen before. It's this movie named Tuxedo. Has anybody seen it with Jackie Chan? It's probably before, like, two people. That's good. So I'm going to tell you about a movie that none of us except for two people have seen before, right? There's this movie, and Jackie Chan, do you know who Jackie Chan is? He's like one of the greatest martial artists to ever. I don't know if he's great, but he's good. He's really fancy with it, though. And so here's this movie, and Jackie Chan is playing a taxi driver. And he is driving a top secret agent named Clark Devlin. Now, Clark Devlin is in this taxi, and Jackie is just a regular old taxi driver in this movie, and they're driving, and the taxi cab comes under attack. They attack the car, and Clark Devlin, this top secret agent, is injured. And so now Jackie Chan and Clark are in trouble, and Clark says to Jackie, he says, hey, listen, I want you to put on my tuxedo jacket. Because when you put on my tuxedo jacket, then you will share in my glory. I'm preaching and you already missed it. Here we go. He says, so Jackie Chan puts on this tuxedo jacket, and what happens? Jackie's now able to do all kinds of fighting maneuvers that he was never able to do as a taxi driver. He's able to walk on walls, he's able to fight, and ultimately he defeats all of the people that came to attack Jackie and this tuxedo jacket, this taxi driver. All because he put on the tuxedo jacket. Are you there? He put on this jacket, and he was able to do things that he was never able to do before. And he was able to get victory on that day when Clark Devlin was injured. Why in the world am I telling you about this movie that I've never seen before? Because I think that this text in Philippians chapter 2 is telling us we've got to put on a jacket. Not a literal jacket, not a tuxedo jacket, but a Jesus jacket. Someone say a Jesus jacket. He says, have the same attitude, or another version says, have the same mindset as Jesus. In other words, what they're saying is, listen, there's something about who Jesus is that we're supposed to put on us. Have the attitude of Christ Jesus. You know, when you go to school and your classmates are trifling, you know trifling in Bloomfield? You know what that word? All right. You have these siblings who have lost their mind. The text is saying, put on your Jesus jacket, have the mindset, have the attitude of Christ Jesus towards those people. When you have some people on your team, I know none of the people who came here, but the people who skipped the retreat this weekend, they got some attitude problems, or they're little divas when they get on the stage. You know what I'm saying? It's not your church; it's the other churches that weren't part of this thing. They got all these crazy drama on their team. I used to work for one pastor, and he said that when Lucifer was kicked out of heaven, he fell right into the worship ministry. You know, if you've been in worship long enough, you have seen some crazy things. And here Paul is saying, listen, when you encounter that sort of drama, whether it's in your family or in your school or in your job or in your worship ministry, he says, don't respond to them the way that you want to respond to them, but put on the Jesus jacket. Have the same attitude as Christ Jesus. Now, let me just take a side note and say, listen, there is no knockoff brand of the Jesus jacket. There's no fake brand of the Jesus jacket. You either really are going to immerse your life in who Jesus is, or you can try to fake it, but we'll find out really quickly that it's not the real deal. You know, right now, 83% of America claims that they're Christians. 83, just think about that, right? Like every athlete, as soon as they get the microphone, they want to give honor to God, right? Every person who gets a Grammy, now they just got a Grammy for saying some of the most raunchiest, sin-filled stuff, and yet they get the microphone, and we're like, I just want to thank Jesus, my Lord and Savior. That is a knockoff brand of the Jesus jacket. When we invoke the name of Jesus and our lives, our attitudes, our mindsets have nothing to do with who Jesus is. There are no knockoff brands of the Jesus jacket. But Paul says, no, wear the real Jesus jacket. Put on the real thing. Have the same attitude. The only way that we can fit into the Jesus jacket is if we would surrender to who Jesus is. If we would surrender our own desires, our own will, our own emotions to the power and to the purpose of Jesus. Because later in this chapter, we didn't read the verse, I think it's around 13, it says that Jesus is the one who would be at work in us to fulfill God's purposes. When we stand in the worship ministry, if we ever have a great service, if it ever seems like the glory of God has come in the room and lives are changed and transformation has happened, can I tell you something? It is not because you are that skilled. There's nobody in this room who is that good that on your own you can bring about transformation in anybody's life. I have seen incredible things in the presence of God. I have seen people healed in God's presence. I've seen people saved. I've seen marriages restored. I've seen people walk when they couldn't walk before because they were in God's presence. And I want to tell you something, it had nothing to do with me or anybody else on the stage, but Jesus is at work at those who would say, hey, I surrender my mind and will and emotions. My life is submerged into the Jesus jacket. Are you breathing? So why should we put on this Jesus jacket? That's a good question. Thank you for asking. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, it says this, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if you have any comfort from his love, if you have any common sharing with the Spirit, if you have any tenderness and compassion, he says, listen, if you have received from Jesus, Jesus' love, has anybody received the love of Jesus in your life? If you have been saved, is there anybody saved in the room? And you know it. Come on. He says, if you have received this, listen, salvation is not just about saying a magical prayer so that you can get to heaven when you die. There ought to be something that is different about your life here and now because Jesus is in your life. Because you have experienced the love of the Father. Listen, we ought to look different this year than we did last July. Because the love of the Father is continuously working in us and shaping us to look more like Jesus. And Paul says, listen, if we have experienced that love, if we have received salvation, if we have received God's tenderness or compassion, then something on the inside of us would have changed that begins to bring a change on the outside of us. And our attitude and our speech and our perspective begins to look more and more like Jesus. Paul says, put on this Jesus jacket because we have received the love and we have received salvation. So what does this look like? Verses 2 through 4. When we put on this Jesus jacket, out of the love of Christ and because of the salvation that we have received, verse 2 through 4, he says, listen, then we've got to be people who would make the joy of the Lord complete. By being unified, you know, there's a lot of problems with unity right now in America. These United States have become some of the most disunited states that I've ever heard of. All kinds of, I'm not even going to get into all that stuff like that. But there, you know what, you don't have to look long enough. In your schools, there's all kinds of disunity. People in cliques and all this drama fighting for stupid stuff. And Paul says, no, if you're going to put on the Jesus jacket, then we are people who are going to unify, who are going to have the same sort of mind, that we're going to do stuff not out of selfish ambition, not out of vain conceit. You know, I was in worship ministry full time for almost 24 years. 24 years, I had to do take in people into the worship ministry, you know, auditions and all that kind of stuff like that, and they would serve. And this is one of the craziest things. There are a lot of people in the course of my ministry who wanted to join the worship ministry so that they could be on a big stage. They thought that they could sing or play really well, and some of them could sing and play really well, and they got on the worship ministry so that they could showcase their gift. They were singing some good songs. They were playing really good songs. They could play really well, but when they would stand on the stage, it was about them. It wasn't about Jesus. Listen, anytime you ever come and engage in worship, it ought to be to exalt Jesus. Listen, if we know your name better than we know the name of Jesus, there is a problem. And very quickly, when we would say, hey, listen, don't go to the big stage quite yet. I just want you to serve for a little while. I just want you to maybe sing backup for a little while. I want you to, you could see people's hearts. Some people would leave the team because they didn't get a solo quick enough. Some people would leave the team. This is, and Paul says, listen, that's not what it looks like to have the Jesus jacket. For the first two years playing, I have what I call my white Uncle Bob. My white Uncle Bob. I'm from Philly, as he said earlier. And Uncle Bob is a skinny white dude from Maine. He is like a toothpick. He's probably now 50-something years old, and he taught me how to play, of all things, gospel music. I came up learning how to play classical music, right? I took lessons and all kinds of stuff like that. And Uncle Bob would take me to the piano at camp, and he would play one chord and say, okay, put your hands like this, and I would play. And by the end of the day, it was excruciating, but he would stay with me all day long, and I would play the Thompson Community Mass Choir songs and all kinds of stuff. Like, he's teaching me gospel music. So for the first 2 years after I got the hang of this, that I'm playing in worship ministry, he would put me on the piano, and he's on the big keyboard leading worship at camp. The piano wasn't even mic'd. For 2 years, I'm on the piano, and nobody could even hear what I was doing, except for me, if I put my head. Would you be willing to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, he says, but to humble yourself. And here it is, and consider the interests of others above your own. Huh? No matter how good you are, no matter what you have done, no matter where you have been, would you be willing to push somebody else up in front? That's what it looks like to have the Jesus jacket. What would your parents say? What would your parents say that when you go home today or tomorrow? And you now live preferring their interest over your own. Like, mother, father, what is it that I could do for you today? I mean, some of them would have a heart attack, right? Right? In Jesus' name, like, not like a bad heart attack, like it's metaphorically speaking, right? Like, what would your siblings do if you said, hey, listen, I want to give you the remote. Oh, wow, I just lost some of you right there. What would it look like if you would begin to consider the interests of others above yourself? Paul says this is what it looks like to wear the Jesus jacket. What would it look like when you didn't just play the songs that you like in worship ministry, but you began to say, what is it that this congregation needs to be able to see the face of Jesus? And it might not be a song that you like. Consider the interests of others above yourself. That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. When Paul wrote these words, it was early. It was early in the Roman Empire. You know the Roman Empire. Caesar Augustus is and all the Caesars. They're just conquering more and more land. And there were about 50 million people. I'm gonna go through this quick. There were about 50 million people who were in the Roman Empire at the time that Paul is writing this. And this is the crazy thing. No matter what nation you were in or what you did for a living, you were in one of two classes. One was called the elite class, and one was the non-elite class. The elite class was like the senators and the Caesars and the centurions. So if you remember some of the Bible stories, Pontius Pilate and Cornelius and Caesar Augustus, these people would be a part of the elite class, and that was only 1 million of the 50 million people were the elite class. And they had 50% of the wealth. Just think about that. 1 million people had 50% of the wealth. That meant the other 49 million people had to share the rest of the resources. Just think about it like this. Did anybody see the Hunger Games? Okay, so in the Hunger Games, you have the city, what is it called? Panem, right? You have, and then you have the 12 districts. If you were a citizen of Panem, like you had all of the money, you had all the crazy fashion, you had all of the technology, but then if you lived in the other 12 districts, then you are poor, you had to do some crazy job, and you really didn't have much of a choice, and you had to live there for the rest of your life. And unless you got chosen for the Hunger Games, most likely you would die. But then if you actually won the Hunger Games, what, you would become famous and you would get all kinds of money. But even if you won and got famous and got money and got the house, you would still never be able to be a citizen of Panem. You could only be in Panem if you were born in that city, and you know what I'm saying? This is how it was in the Roman Empire. You could be a citizen of Rome, and you could be a part of the elite class, and you would do that for the rest of your life. But if you were part of the non-elites, the poor, the slaves, the servants, just the working class, you could never become one of the elite people. And Paul is writing to a group of people like that, and he's saying, listen, he says, hold on one second. He says, listen, this is what it looks like to be wearing this Jesus jacket. Whether you're part of the elite class or whether you're part of the non-elite class, whether you're the wealthy ones or the non-wealthy, whether you're the famous ones or the wherever you are in this whole strata of the society, he says, listen, you would have the same attitude, the same mindset of Jesus Christ, that you would humble yourself to push somebody else forward. It's completely opposite of what they were expecting, completely opposite of their the way that they lived. Most of them were looking for a way to exalt themselves, to promote themselves. Most of them were looking for a way to increase their own power and position. They were looking for ways to be stingy and to hoard their stuff so they had more accolades and more possessions and all that kind of stuff. Most of them were seeking to maximize their own life and their own pleasure and their own power. And here Jesus says, no, there is a different way to live. I call it the kingdom paradoxes, or the Jesus paradoxes. He says, if you want to look like Jesus, then sometimes we have to do the things that look foolish to everybody else, but it's actually wisdom in the kingdom. If we want to look like Jesus, then we've got to be a people who are willing to die to our own selves so that we could actually experience life. We've got to be willing to give away so that we could receive. We would have to be willing to humble ourselves, and that's when Jesus would exalt us. We would have to be willing to be last. And that's when we would experience what it would mean to be first. This is the cruciform life, is what Michael Gorman calls it. It's to say that my life, my attitude, my perspective is living according to the way that Jesus will put on the Jesus jacket. Here it is, verse 6. Who being in very nature God, that means that he was the epitome of the elite class. Jesus was in nature God. And he did not consider his privilege, his power, to be something to be used to his own advantage. But watch this. He humbled himself. He became the servant, the least of all of the classes. He went from the top of the elite class and went all the way down. He became the servant to all. And he died the worst kind of death, the death of the cross. He said, this Jesus, who was on top of the universe, did not use all of that stuff that he had for his own advantage. But he got all the way down, even giving up his life so that you and I could live, so that we could actually have hope, that we could have freedom, that we could have liberty, that we could have healing. All of these things, Jesus didn't have to do it. And Paul says, we are to have the same attitude, the same mindset. What would it look like? What would it look like if we began to live in such a way that with all that we have, with all the luxuries and the possessions and all that kind of stuff, that we would use it not for us, but to help others see Jesus? Help others experience, like you're investing all of this money into music lessons, and what if it's not so that you could get famous? What if nobody ever knows your name? What if nobody ever knows the song that you write? But you do it with all that you are because it might just help 20 people that might come to youth group. This is the attitude, the mindset of Jesus. I'm almost done. He says, have the same attitude, the same mindset, like the sacrificial Jesus, the humble Jesus. Listen, the way that I see it, there are two types of ways to eat a brownie. There are two types of ways to eat a brownie. You can eat a brownie, like you go up to the pan and you cut it and you pick it up with your fingers and you just eat it, right? That's one type of way. Just cook the brownie, you cut it, you put it in your mouth, you chew it, you swallow it, boom. Right? Anybody like brownies? All right. That's one way to eat a brownie, but there's another way to eat a brownie. You go to the centerpiece where it's gooey. Yeah, some of y'all just woke up, but y'all didn't hear a word I said all morning right now. You get this gooey piece, and you can't eat this with your fingers because it's gooey. You have to eat this bad boy with a bowl. You put it in a bowl, and then you go to the freezer and put some ice cream on top. Come on. Y'all talking? I got a witness here. And if you really want to be anointed, you go and get some syrup, and you pour it on that bad boy, and some sprinkles, and the glory of God comes with that little cherry on top. Does anybody know that? There are two ways to eat a brownie. You can eat it with your fingers, or you can have this experience of the saturation of presence with the bowl, right? Right. The way that I see it, there's two types of computers. You know, there's the PC things. You might like get an email or whatever. Really, a PC is only good for viruses, right? They just get it like. Or you can get a Mac. Right? You know the Mac is you know, the Spirit of God moves, leading you and guiding you as you're trying to write your papers, and it knows what you're gonna do even before you know what is good. I mean, you can get the Mac, and you know, the PC gives you viruses, but the Mac gives you the watch and the iPad and the iPhone and all that kind of stuff, and your whole world begins to unify. There are two types of Christians, yeah? Two types of Christians. There's the finger eating brownie PC Christians who said a prayer, but their life, their attitude doesn't look anything like Jesus. But then there's the brownie in a bowl with ice cream and pour some sauce on me, Jesus. Mac using Christians. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all in. It's all in. It's all in. It's not just when it's convenient. It's not just when things are going well. Whether I feel like I'm on the top of the world or whether I feel like I'm being crucified myself, I'm all in. And Paul is saying, listen, if you're going to wear the Jesus jacket, it's be all in. With your attitude, with your mind, with your heart, with your intentions, with your desires, not just for you, but so that someone else can see Jesus. Come on, I'm almost done. I said that like five times. That's the other thing. Never mind. Watch this. The last verse, it says this. He goes, because Jesus did this, verse 9, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that was above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth would confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Listen, this is about Jesus. The reason that we came in here to sing for 30, 40 minutes is because we were here to exalt Jesus. The reason we came to a conference like this for 3 or 4 days is so that we could exalt Jesus, because Jesus is the one. He's the wonderful counselor, right? He's the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's the risen King. He is the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Jesus is our advocate, our redeemer, our our mediator, our deliverer, our savior, our healer, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We do all of this for Jesus. And when we would live our lives like the life of Jesus, then we are exalting Jesus. When we would humble ourselves, we are exalting Jesus. When we would consider the interests of others, we are exalting Jesus. When we would lay down our lives that somebody else could see Jesus, we are exalting Jesus. That this world that is broken, that is hurting, that is caught up in all kinds of mess would be liberated and be able to come into the glory, into the presence of Jesus. This is why we do what we do. This is why we have come to worship, that Jesus would be exalted. Do you have some friends or family members that need to see Jesus? Are there some people in your neighborhood or in the community, in your school, that need to see Jesus? Paul suggests that it is when we would put on the Jesus jacket. Sometimes it's not because we can say the Romans rolled or the four spiritual laws like the back of our hand. But some of the best evangelism that we could ever do is let our attitudes, let our mindsets be the same as Christ Jesus. Just think about this for a minute. I don't know how many people are at this camp. 50. There's 50 people. There's probably 60 in the room right now with all the people serving and all that kind of stuff. What would happen if just us in this room, decided that we were going to have the same attitude, the same mindset? It's Christ Jesus. There were 12 disciples. Right? So we just like quadrupled that. 12 disciples who decided that they were going to have the same attitude as Christ Jesus. And later on in Acts, what do we say? It says, and the world was turned upside down. I'm ready to see Rochester turn upside down. I'm ready to see principalities and powers broken over the city. I'm ready to see darkness dissipate. I'm ready to see the heavens opened over this region. But it starts with your attitude. It starts with your mindset. It starts with your unity. It starts with you exalting Jesus. And your friends and your family and your school and your church and this city would see Jesus. What did it say? And would bow their knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. My time is up. Can I pray for you? God, we honor you. And we are so grateful for what you did for us. What you are doing in us. And what you will do through us. Spirit of God, would you transform us by the renewing of our minds? Every day, would you conform us to your likeness? Would you awaken in us a desire to have the same attitude, the same mindset as Christ Jesus? Lord, let us be people of humility, of self-sacrifice, of love and unity, to the glory and the exaltation of your name. God, we thank you. God, we thank you for what you are doing. And we thank you for salvation in this region. We thank you for restoration in this region. We thank you for awakening and revival in this region. We thank you for reform in this region. God, I thank you that you're returning resources to this region. You're restoring ingenuity and innovation and creativity to this region. Lord, as we would surrender and as we would humble ourselves, as you are exalted, may the very same creative power that was hovering in Genesis 1, may it come to this region. Release your beauty. Release your power. Release your healing. Release your deliverance. God, everything that we do, all that we say, it's for you. Jesus, be more famous in our lives. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.